It's good to see everybody this morning. You know, church started at 11, and I am up speaking at 11:30. I love it. I love it. Y'all must be trying to go see them Commanders play or something like that, trying to give me a hint. It's good to see everybody this morning. I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Pastor Dwayne, anytime you need me to pinch hit, anytime you need me. I pastored for 10 years, and I felt like I needed a pinch hitter once a month. So I get it. Pastor McKinney and First Lady McKinney, so good to see you guys. God bless you. Always glad to be in the house of the Lord. I always feel like I'm home here. Never feel like a stranger here. So thank you guys for always welcoming me, always encouraging me. In many ways, for those of y'all who've been here for years, y'all have seen me and my family grow up. And Michelle and I have been married for 28 years. And 28. And a couple of my kids may be walking in at any minute now, but we're just so thankful to the Lord for his faithfulness. For his faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful. And so we give glory and honor to him for his faithfulness. Let me give you a quick commercial. I've been busy, y'all. So y'all have always supported not just my preaching, but my writings. I have a new resource that we just released not long ago. It's called The Angry Man, The Angry Woman. When I first started writing this, I've written 16 books now, Dwayne, 16. And when I first started writing this, I was just going to talk about the angry man. But I kept getting more couples in my office where the woman was mad. So the Lord led me to shift and to talk about the angry man and the angry woman, because anger is one letter short from danger. And when we look in this world and we look in all these shootings that are going on, the root cause of it is anger. You got all these people on the media talking about put your guns down. No, put your anger down. When the anger goes down, when we learn how to manage our emotions, shootings go down, okay? So this is a resource, The Angry Man, The Angry Woman, just a couple of more resources. I got this little pink book. I only have about 10 of them today, I think. It's called Know Your Worth. It's a little pink book for teenage girls, young girls. We basically compiled my tweets, my Facebook posts, quotes, put them in a little book. So one word a day for young ladies. It's a little pink book. You can pick that up right after the service there. And then one more I want to mention to you. I do a lot of marriage counseling these days. Pastor Dwayne, I don't know if I shared with you, I am now a licensed therapist in the state of Maryland. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And so now I'm authorized by the state of Maryland to do not just couples counseling, but mental health counseling. And so I'm excited about that. And so I have two resources today for couples. One resource is called Ladies First. It's for men, how to effectively love your lady, because the number one thing she needs is love. And then this little resource is called Mannerisms, how to effectively respect your man. When a man loves and a woman respects, that's what you call a healthy marriage. Amen? Amen. Excellent. So I want to jump into the word today. And so just stop by my table. One of my children, a couple of my kids should be by there this afternoon. I want to call your attention to the word of the Lord today. I want to read into your hearing. I want to start off with one verse, familiar verse, Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Can we read this verse together, please? All together. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Can we read it again, please? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Ladies only. Come on, brothers, that early morning voice on Sunday. Come on. Excellent. Powerful verse. When I was growing up, there used to be this phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but we're, okay, y'all heard the same phrase growing up, right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Nan, nanny, boo, boo. Y'all remember that? Well, unbeknownst to me at the time, when I became an adult, I realized that that was a lie. Oh, Lord. Sticks and stones, words will never hurt. Oh, yes, they do. Words hurt. Let me tell you how bad words hurt. Let me read you a few quick stories. 14-year-old Brandon Bittner left his Mount Pleasant Mills, Pennsylvania home during the early morning hours of November the 5th. Brandon walked alone in cold darkness over 6 miles to a busy intersection on routes 11 and 15. When he arrived at his destination, Brandon stepped out in front of a Weiss Market tractor trailer and committed suicide. Brandon's mother, Tammy, discovered her son's suicide note at their home. And in the note, he addressed his love for his family, but also expressed the reasons for taking his life. In the suicide note, Brandon described constant bullying, constantly being harassed by negative words, which had been happening over the course of 5 years. On a daily basis, he was made fun of about how he looked. He was called names like sissy and goth and gay. He was bullied every day for 5 years by words and couldn't take it no more. Amanda Michelle Todd committed suicide on October the 10th at the age of 15. Prior to her death, she posted a video on YouTube in which she used a series of flashcards to tell of her experience being bullied by words. Bullied by words. Kayla Marie Wright, 16 years old, drove to Colorado into a ditch, crashing into a tree to end her life as a result of constantly being abused by negative words. Rebecca Sidwick killed herself on September the 9th by jumping off a cement factory tower. She was terrorized by as many as 15 girls who picked on her for months with their words, their negative text messages, their posts about her. They told her, drink bleach and die. Words. Church, I could go on and on and on and tell you story after story about the impact of Proverbs 18:21. And I have a simple assignment. When Pastor Dwayne called me, I went into prayer and said, Lord, what do you want me to share with Encounter Church on Sunday? And the Lord impressed this upon my heart. Watch your mouth. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, you do not have the right to say anything you want to say to people. We do not have that liberty. It doesn't matter that we live in a country of free speech. If you are a child of God, you have got to watch your mouth. You have got to tame your tongue. It's interesting. I did some research, and to my surprise, it is easier to tame a tiger than it is to tame a tongue. It is easier to keep a tiger tamed than it is to tame this little muscle in our mouth that we call a tongue. And church, we got to recognize that when the scripture says life and death are in the power of the tongue, what that means is we have the power in our mouths to build people up, but we also have the same power to tear people down. We have the power through our words to encourage someone, to create life into someone, to bless someone, to through our words to change the trajectory of somebody's life through what we say. But with that same mouth, with that same tongue, with that same speech, with those same words, we have the power to crush people, to hurt people. We got to watch our mouths. I am privileged for the last 5 years to be one of the chaplains for the Washington Wizards basketball team. It's one of the highlights of my week during every basketball season. I get to go in with a few other pastors and share a message with the team for the chapel service. And I was on my way to the arena the other night when the Wizards played the Nets, and I stopped at the gas station on New York Avenue, and as I was pumping my gas, I noticed a mother walking down the sidewalk with her child, this little child, probably 4 or 5 years old, walking next to her. And as I observed them walking down the sidewalk of New York Avenue, she kept screaming at the child, "Walk up! You're too slow! Keep it moving!" And for like a half mile, she is yelling and she is screaming and she is just cursing at this little kid. And it gripped me because what I realized is that's why kids grow up abusing other kids. That's why kids grow up using their words to hurt other kids. Because what's being modeled in front of them at home, what's being spoken into their life at home, what's being said to them at home is negativity. It's demeaning. It's angry stuff, and it's hurting our kids. And I want to remind us as parents and as grandparents, use your words to speak life into your kids. Use your words to speak life into your grandkids. Tell your kids who they are. Tell them what they can become. Tell them how special they are, how wonderful they are, how intelligent they are, how beautiful they are, how handsome he is, how pretty she is. Use your words to speak life. You are an honor roll student. You are an A student. You are the smartest kid in the room. You are the smartest kid on the block. You are strong. You are unique. You are special. You are all that in a bag of chips. Yes, you will be great. Yes, you will do great things. Call those things that are not as though they were. We got to speak life into our kids. We got to speak life, watch this, into each other. If you are married, if you are dating, if you are in a relationship, you don't have a right ever to speak death to your partner. How can that relationship thrive if the only thing you hear in that relationship is death? And you may not know this. I know this as a counselor because I see a lot of couples. There are a lot of men and women who come into my office who are being verbally abused by their partner. Verbal abuse. That's why some men won't even come home on time. They'll stay at work late. They'll stay at the bar. They'll stay at the cigar lounge. Why? Because they say, when I come home, I'm always told how no good of a man I am, how I'm just like my father, how I'll never amount to anything. I don't even go to the house no more. Verbal abuse. And then there are men who are verbally abusing their lady. You're not this, and you're not that. We have to cultivate in our homes life words. You should, if you are married, you shouldn't even use the divorce word in your house. We ain't bringing that death word up in here. I know you're unhappy. I know you don't like what's happening. That's why you go to counseling. But we don't bring death words. When a couple comes to my office and they want to talk about divorce, I'm saying, y'all sitting in front of the wrong cat. We don't speak death in this office. We speak like somehow we're going to make it. Somehow we're going to work through this. Somehow it's going to work out. I don't know the answers. I don't know the way. But somehow, life. Life. And when you don't see it, when it looks bad, we keep speaking what we are seeking until we start to see what we've been saying. I'm going to say that again. Some of y'all missed that. You got to keep speaking what you are seeking until you are seeing what you've been saying. Keep speaking what you are seeking until you are seeing what you've been saying. You got to keep speaking it. Speak 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 it. Why do we keep speaking it? So we can start believing it. The more we speak it, the more we speak it, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to make it. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through. When I look at my kids and I see some of the things that they are accomplishing in their lives, I say to my wife, it's supposed to be happening. Because we spoke it for years. They supposed to be successful. They supposed to have money in the bank. They supposed to have their own stuff. They supposed to have good friends. They supposed to have good jobs. Because we've been speaking it for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. We've been speaking it. You keep speaking. How long do I speak it, McBride? Until you start seeing it. You speak life. You don't speak death. When can I just talk about reality, like the reality? Never speak death. That's not what your tongue is for. In fact, I'll prove it to you. Look at this next verse. James 1:26. People who think they are religious, Christian folk, but say things they should not say, are what? Fooling themselves. The scripture says their religion is worth nothing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you cussing people out. Jesus is clearly not the Lord of your mouth. Jesus may be your Savior, But when will you let him lord over your lips? When will you say, some people don't need to come to the altar with their body to get saved. You just need to come to the altar with your tongue out. God, save my tongue today. You just need to lay your tongue on the altar. I dare you after church when we get an invitation, come put your lips on the altar and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my lips. Yeah, but we got to pray this on the way to work, y'all. Lord, right now as I try to be the Lord, I'm going back into this office, be the Lord of my lips. I'm about to get on this Zoom call with these people that I don't like too much. Be the Lord of my tongue, Jesus. Are y'all feeling what I'm saying? Words demonstrate our faith. They prove or disprove whether or not we're surrendered to him. Yeah, but I got freedom of speech. Not if you're under Christ. Because freedom of speech will cost you. I'll prove it to you in a minute. Look at Matthew 12, 36. Look at this. Jesus said these words. Jesus says, I tell you that on the judgment day, people will be responsible for every careless thing that they have said. When I read that verse years ago, I said, man, I just need to stop talking. I just need to sit down somewhere for a year or two. I mean, every careless word? Like, do they have enough books in heaven to keep them records? Right? Because the book of Revelation says in judgment day, books will be open and we will be judged based on what's written in the books. I said, oh my Lord, boy, we have to be careful of being careless. Well, that's just how I felt. You don't have to share everything you feel. Well, that's just what I was thinking. You don't have to share everything you're thinking. Some things are personal and very private. Everybody don't have to know what you're thinking. Okay, if you are just insistent that you got to share what you think, share what you feel, hire a counselor. Because a counselor, I know I will. I sit up there, I listen. Yeah, okay, yeah, pay me. You got it off your chest, write the check. I sat here for an hour. Now it's off your chest. It's between me and you. I'm not saying anything. Pay me. You start going to cat. It starts to get expensive. Right? He says, we will be responsible. So before you say in anger what you want to say, Matthew 12, 36. Lord, I don't want you to write this one down. I'm let that Lord, you ain't got right. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, Lord. Words have, Proverbs 13, the potential to ruin. Look at this next verse. Proverbs 13, 3. Words have the potential to ruin. In fact, let's read it together. Careful words make for a careful life. Careless talk may ruin everything. Proverbs 21, 23, look at it. Watch your words. Hold your what? You'll save yourself a lot of what? And a lot of money. Over the last 2 weeks, you may have heard in the news that Kanye West has been saying stuff, has been speaking words. This man literally lost $2 billion in 1 week because of his words. because of his words. You may have heard in the NBA. In fact, I had chapel service for the Wizards the other night when they played the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie Irving didn't play because Kyrie Irving got suspended. Okay? And Kyrie Irving got suspended without pay for 5 games, going to cost him millions of dollars. Had to donate $500,000 to the Anti-Defamation League because of his words and his lack of contrition, his lack of apologizing. Kyrie has lost millions. And who knows, maybe a team next year may not even want him. Words. Watch your words. Hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. Let me be transparent with you. I haven't always been careful with my words. I haven't always watched my words. Remember that book on anger I was telling you about? In my life, I've said some angry stuff that I wish I could take back. Don't leave me out here by myself, y'all. Just raise your hand. Come on, talk back to a brother. All right, okay, one, two. Okay, I feel better now. Okay, y'all was leading me on that cliff all by myself. We all have said some stuff that we regret. I'll never forget. I'm not going to name the school, but I was for 8 years the chaplain of a particular Christian school. And I was the chaplain of that school, so every Thursday I would speak to the kids, the high school students, the middle school students, the elementary students. And 1 year, which was actually my last year, I was given a message, and I was, if y'all know me, like I use illustrations and props and stories. And so I was trying to illustrate how, I was talking to the high school kids, Pastor Dwayne, I was trying to communicate to the young girls, you shouldn't be happy about the songs on the radio that call you these names. That's not stuff to dance to, because you're being degraded and you're being put down, and you gotta look at yourself better. You gotta, and it was working. But then, to really emphasize what I was trying to say, I used the B word 3 times. Y'all don't leave me out here by myself. I'm telling you my testimony. I used it 3 times talking to them kids. The kids got it. But it was the administration. administration. Long story short, 3 of my kids were on scholarship at that school because of my service to that school. Because of my 3 words that lasted probably 15 seconds. I lost a $40,000 scholarship. Did you hear what I said? So now I gotta pay that tuition. That was a hard lesson right there. Woo! 40 G. So I'm losing. I'm putting my kids in public school. Shoot, they going to put, y'all going to buoy. But this verse of Proverbs 13:3, careless talk may ruin everything. You might lose your job. You might lose a scholarship. You might lose your marriage. Because she ain't putting up with the verbal abuse no more. See? Be careful with your words, because they can ruin. Look at Luke 6:45. Let me bring this in for a land. And I think y'all get the point today. Can you say amen? Luke 6:45. Jesus says, this is Jesus speaking. He says, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up where? In his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored where? In his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth what? I know I'm talking about the tongue. I know I'm talking about the mouth. I know I'm talking about what we say. But Jesus says the reality and the root is not the mouth. It's the heart. So forget bringing your lips to the altar today. Forget bringing your tongue to the altar today. Instead, bring to the altar today your heart and say, Jesus, change my heart, because if you change my heart, my words will change. If you save my heart, if you help me on the inside, it will begin to show up on the outside. So it's not enough just to say, Lord, help me with my language. Help me with my tongue. We got to go deeper and say, God, change the things that's inside of me that's leading me. Help me to forgive people on the inside so I won't say some stuff on the outside. Help me to let go of resentment and bitterness and anger on the inside so I won't say stuff on the outside. Because what you speak is an indication of what's on the inside of you. That's why if you scare a person, the first word they say is an indication of what's on the inside. Somebody scare you, boo, what you say? What's the first word to come out? That's an indication of what's inside. Repeat after me, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Let me give you a couple more and we're done. Proverbs 12, 18. Here it is. Proverbs 12, 18. Let's read it together. The words of the wise bring what? Read it again. The words of the wise bring what? Use your words. Hear me, church. Encounter Life Church. Hear me. When you go to school tomorrow, work tomorrow, when you get on social media, use your words to bring healing. Because people are broken. People are hurt. You never know what a person. I was with Pastor John Jenkins this week in chapel, Pastor First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. He said, Sean, you may not know this, but last week in our church, one of the Prince George's County police officers who does security committed suicide. You never know what the person next to you is going through. When you get on social media, get on there and use your words to build people. Stop debating with people. Stop arguing with people. Stop defending your position. Get on there and use your word. I hope everybody has a blessed day today. Get on there and use your words and start saying things to people like, I'm proud of you. Start saying things like, way to go. Happy birthday. Start saying things like, good job. Start saying things like, I know you can do it. Start saying thank you. Start saying, may God bless you. Use your words to bring healing. There's enough brokenness in the world. There's enough division in the world. What would happen if the people of Encounter Life Church, if don't you see those people sometime that don't know how to drive, but they got the bumper sticker on the back of the car, follow me to Encounter Life Church? But they just cut you off. They just almost made you crash, but follow me to Encounter Life Church. What I'm saying is we got to do better. What would happen if all of us at Encounter Life Church said, you know what? We're going to start using our words and our fingers on that keyboard to bring healing to people. Proverbs 16, 24. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. Ooh, I don't know about y'all, but I like honey. I like honey on my Cheerios. I like honey on apples. Honey, I like honey on popcorn. Don't judge me. I like honey. Honey are sweet. The Bible says when you use kind words, you are being so sweet. Who really likes being around negative people? Nobody. We love to be around people who are positive and kind. I'm saying you become that person. Instead of waiting for God to send that person in your life, you become that person that's so kind that people want to hang around with you. I want to close telling you two quick stories. I think this message makes sense today, right? Okay, my assignment is complete. Two quick stories. When Oprah Winfrey retired from television, when she went off the air, she decided to bring on some final guests. This was out of almost 5,000 episodes. One of the final guests that she brought on to introduce to the world was a lady named Miss Duncan. Miss Duncan was Oprah's fourth grade teacher. So she's ending her show after 25 years. She's bringing before the world, I want y'all to meet Miss Duncan, who was my fourth grade teacher. And we like, I'm like, okay, what's up with Miss Duncan? Oprah said, my fourth grade teacher, Miss Mary Duncan, was the first person that I really could see believed in me. And Oprah said it was because of her words. Oprah said this lady, this little white lady, Miss Duncan, would say things like, Oprah, you're just the smartest little black girl I've ever seen. Oprah, you can take on the world. Oprah, you're such a good reader. Oprah, your peers love to hear you read. Oprah said those words so impacted her as a little fourth grade black girl that that's why she went into journalism. She was inspired to go into journalism because of some words, a teacher. You may not be a teacher, but you a parent, a grandparent, an auntie, an uncle, a big brother, little brother, big sister, little sister. You can use your words right in your own house to inspire somebody. Have you ever just needed a word of encouragement and somebody just speaks the right word at the right time? Be that person. Last story. One of my favorite actors of all time is Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington. Listen to what Denzel said, what got him into acting. He said, my second go round at Fordham, I switched to the school's Midtown campus where they had a real drama program, and I became passionate about acting. Bob Stone, my English teacher, was involved in the theater program and knew his stuff. He had been on Broadway, and he encouraged me about becoming an actor. So one of his teachers was encouraging him, like, man, you got what it takes. More than that, he believed in me. He wrote a letter of recommendation for me to get into graduate school. What he basically said was this: if you don't have the talent to nurture this young man, then don't accept him. Denzel said these words. He said, I must have read that letter 100 times. Each time I thought, wow, if he thinks I'm that good, I'm going to have to live up to those words. Denzel Washington, in essence, became an actor because of what somebody else said about him. Because sometimes you may not even believe in yourself. Sometimes you may not even have the words to speak to yourself. Denzel said, these words lit a fire in me. He said, for years, I kept that letter in my pocket. And I still have it. He says, when things get tough, I read it. He says, there were times I wondered if I would ever catch my first break, but his words kept me going. And I finally made it. And maybe somebody's under the sound of my voice today, and maybe this week you've been beat down with words. I'm here to tell you, God loves you. I'm here to say, yes, you can. I'm here to remind you, you can get through this. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know you can't always see your way, but if God be for you, who can be against you? I simply want to remind you, Encounter Church, today, watch your mouth and make sure you use your words to speak life. I'm done, but I want to show you this here. I got this tube of toothpaste. Maybe some of y'all have seen this illustration before. I'll close with this. When my children were little, I was trying to teach them about the power of words. When my kids were little, I was trying to remind them, watch what you say. And in order to illustrate, I said, take a tube of toothpaste, and I said, put toothpaste on the counter. So squeeze it and put all the toothpaste on the counter. You squeeze it out and put all the toothpaste on the counter. So now the counter full of toothpaste. And then I said, now, take the toothpaste that you squeeze onto the counter and put it back in the tube. Dad, I thought you said you left that weed alone years ago. What they were saying was, Dad, that's impossible. Once you get it on the counter, you can't put it back in because it's already out. How you gonna put it back? And they arguing with me. I'm like, no, put it back in. No, y'all, no, Dad, you can't put it back in. Dad, once it's on the counter, you can't put it back in. Ha ha. So are your words. Once your words come out of your mouth, you can't put them back in. Once your words leave your mouth, you can't take it back. So be careful what you say. Because once it's out, you can't take it back. Heavenly Father, thank you for my family here at Encounter Life Church. And Lord, I don't know why I feel so emotional about this message today. Maybe because all week I've been hearing people in my office beat down with words. Maybe because I sense that some people are even here today feeling beat down by words. Lord, will you help us put this message into practice today? Will you help us not just to hear the word, but to respond to the word? Lord, will you forgive us for anything we've said, anything we've communicated to a family member, a child, a coworker, a boss, anything we typed on social media? Will you forgive us for anything harsh, hurtful, and unbecoming of a Christian? Fill us with yourself. change our hearts so that our speech would become so different. We give today our hearts to you, our mouths to you, our tongues to you. Help us to be ever so careful of what we say, to watch our mouths, knowing that we can't take it back. We humbly pray this in your name. Amen and amen.